You'll turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. I will try to give you something that God gave me from the Bible. All you Bible-believing Baptists here on Corpus Christi are familiar with 1 Kings 17. It's when Elijah the Tishbite does some miraculous things and meets up with a widow woman, and she has a barrel that never wastes and a cruse that never fails. And a lot of things happen in this chapter. And I want to read a little bit of it and show you some things that, I've read this chapter and I've preached different parts of this thing. And the Lord showed me another thing here that that I needed. And I pray that it's a blessing to you. But let me pray first and get me out of the way and see if we can get the Lord involved in this. Father, I just... I'm very blessed and very privileged once again to stand in pastor's pulpit and be asked to deliver something from your book. And Father, you know me and you have talked a lot about this passage, and that I have truly desired that everything that be spoken tonight comes from you. And I still standing there, Lord, and praying that you'll move me out of the way, and that the thoughts and the illustrations and the applications that are made out of this passage will be straight from the throne of God and be a help and be something that every one of us can go home tonight and be thankful that we came to church tonight and heard from you. And I pray that you do that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read a few verses here and maybe comment along the way. I want to get you, if you're not familiar with the passage, I want to show you some things, and then we'll get into what we want to really dig into. It's chapter 17 of 1 Kings, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, see, Elijah just shut off the rain. Verse 3, this is what the Lord said, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have," look at this, "I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold," here he goes again, "I have commanded a woman there to sustain thee." I have commanded a woman there to sustain thee. You know, at this point, if I was Elijah, I'd be tickled to death, because the grub's bound to be starting to get better than a raven bringing me bread and what did he bring? Flesh and bread twice a day. You know, Elijah just survived by this creek, drinking the water until it ran out, and these ravens were commanded by God to feed him. And now he said, "Get up and go to Zarephath, because I have commanded a woman there to sustain you." Okay, I want you to keep this in mind as we read the next part of this passage. I don't see a whole lot of evidence in this passage where God, that before Elijah shows up, that this woman actually had an audible conversation with God about being commanded to sustain him. Okay, let's look at the rest of this passage. Verse 10, "So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, 'Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink.' And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, 'Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand.' And she said, 'As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die.' And Elijah said unto her, 'Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make thee, and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. He said in verse 9 that the Lord said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And I believe that. I believe he commanded her to sustain, to take care of Elijah. But when I read that verse, and I've read it, years and years, I've read it, you don't see in her actions the fact that she's just been commanded of God to take care of this guy. It's pretty clear, I didn't, tell you the truth, when I read the first six or seven verses, I didn't see that it was really clear that God commanded the ravens to take care of Elijah. You know, that there was a voice and he came one day and talked to the ravens and told them, take care of this guy, twice a day, bring him some flesh and bring him some bread. But it's real apparent that they got the message and obeyed God, okay? But when I read this part about the woman, it's a little different. I believe truly that she was commanded by God to sustain Elijah. But I don't know, I don't see any evidence that it was like a verbal command, but I know that she was commanded. So, and I know, has anyone in here ever been commanded by God to do something verbally? Good. I didn't want to see a hand come up. So if she wasn't commanded verbally, and I know that she was commanded, I believe in this passage there's some ways and some things that God has showed me how that he commands us, just as he commanded this lady, to accomplish certain things, certain of his desires, and they don't necessarily have to be verbally commanded to us. Does that make sense? And so I want to look at some things in this passage and show you how she was commanded and how that may affect us. The first way that I believe that she was commanded is she was commanded to take care of him by her circumstances. By her circumstances. You know, you've got a, we don't know much about her life. We know just what was written in here. But we know one thing, she was widowed. She had lost a husband. And she was living in a time of famine. And so times were tough. She was evidently, her spirit and things were broken down. She is sitting here, she's at her wit's end. Wouldn't you say if she's going out to collect the two sticks and she's got one meal worth of makings left and she is going to take care of cooking a meal for her and her son and then planning on dying from there? She is, like I'd say, she's beat up by her circumstances. Has anyone in here ever been beat up by your circumstances? Yeah. Yeah. You know what? She had just enough food for one more meal. We often pray when we see some folks maybe not in the will of God, and maybe, I've got some children that apparently are enjoying not living in the will of God. And sometimes we'll pray, and I've heard it in here, we'll pray that, Lord, will you just, I hope they've reached bottom. You know, we hope that we can get them to reach bottom. And if they hit bottom, then maybe the only place they can look is up and that God can get their attention. You know what? This lady had hit bottom. She was at her wit's end. She was at, God had her what I call a pinch point. Where have anybody, God ever had y'all in a pinch point? Like this week? Yeah, no. These things are part of her circumstances. You know, also on top of just her condition, and you know, I don't know her story. I don't know if she was in this fix because of decisions that she had made in her life, or whether she was in this fix just because of the famine and just hard times, or she was in this fix because of maybe some sin in her life, or you don't know why she was there, but she was there. And just on top of her problems, she's got a son that she's trying to take care of. It's one thing to be in a bad position, and I've seen it, I've known it, where that I've had a spouse that died of cancer. And I know that besides going through the grief of fighting that and being in that kind of a circumstance, there's this other weight that's on you because you've got kids. You've got other people that you care about. You've got a husband. And this lady had a child that she was really concerned about. And she was in a position where, you know, she had one more meal for her son. She had responsibilities, and they were big. And another thing that we know about the lady, look in verse 12. She said, "As the Lord thy God liveth," when she was talking to Elijah. You know, I don't believe she had much of a relationship with the Lord. God to her was Elijah's God. It was the God of Elijah. It wasn't her God. And you can cross-reference this passage over into Luke when the Lord's talking and he's railing on Israel and telling them, look, back when that famine was happening, there was plenty of widows in Israel, but I sent Elijah outside. Zarephath, if you look at a map of Israel, Zarephath is way north of Dan, the top of Israel. And so he sent Elijah way out. This lady is probably not a Jew, and this lady has no relationship with God. She is in pretty bad circumstances, wouldn't you say? She was commanded of God to sustain Elijah. And you know what? We read the story. Elijah gets sustained. And so I believe she was commanded to... Her circumstances commanded her actions, is what I'm trying to say. Now, how do we apply this to us? Well, it's pretty simple. There has never been a moment in any one of our lives, never been a moment in anybody in this, any of our lives, that we were not under a commandment of God. Whether you were saved or lost. You see, God is God of the saved, and he's also the God of the lost. Okay? I've never been in a position where I wasn't under some kind of a command of God. Okay? And here's another thing that he struck me with, because, you know, we get up here on Wednesday nights and we talk about prayer requests and we talk about, you know, my heart just breaks for the Bennetts and Norma right now. I've been there. I've walked a lot of those steps, and I know. And they had, how long were they married? Long time, you know, twice as long as I was probably. It's got to be hard. But you know what? No matter what your position is, whether you came in here so happy today you couldn't stand it, you had the happy feet, or you came in here today carrying a bunch of a burden with you, the Lord has you, listen to this, the Lord has you exactly where he needs you to be to obey a command. And think about that. He has you exactly where you need. Whether it's by your own deeds or whether it's by his direction, there is no surprise in heaven. This widow woman was in the exact place at the exact time in the exact circumstances to accomplish what God wanted accomplished. So, no matter where you're at tonight, Joe, you're waiting for this surgery, and I imagine it's going to be on the prayer request. Okay? I leave a line there just for Joe every week on this surgery and making sure it's going to go right and getting the insurance to work out. But you know, Joe, this surgery is no question, no surprise for God, and he's got you, whether it was your own deeds or whether it was his direction, he's got you right exactly where he wants you to get done what he wants done. And every one of us is there. And the sooner we realize that our circumstances surely do command and direct the God's commands, the better we'll be. You know, there may be, how many of y'all, you don't have to raise your hands, how many of y'all, you may have a little bit of a need to trust God more. You know, God can arrange circumstances to accomplish that command, okay? And he does that quite often in my life, okay? How about maybe if you need to, do you have a need, you think, maybe to increase your fellowship with God? Maybe it's not quite what it used to be, then it ain't right, okay? But maybe you need to increase your fellowship. Maybe you need to be humbled. Maybe you're a little bit self-righteous. Now, nobody in here will admit that. But the best way to find out if you're a little bit self-righteous is just turn and ask the person next to you right now. Because they'll be glad to tell you, okay? Especially if they're married to you. But God is a God of circumstances. And he had this widow lady right exactly where she needed to be, in the condition she needed to be able to do the things that needed to be done to sustain Elijah. Maybe God may mess with your circumstances because you don't give. And I'm not talking just money. I'm talking maybe your time. I'm talking maybe you don't pray. God knows what you need, and he's trying to get you to know what you need. And so God is a God of circumstances. Maybe you need to serve more, serve God more. In my case, you know, I wasn't this widow woman, but you know, I had three businesses. I had a business partner, had a corporation, had just getting it and going. And then all of a sudden, circumstances started changing. I found a list that I had kept of the last 2 weeks I was in business. And it is amazing how God just destroyed everything I had. I mean, he was blowing trucks up. It was a mess. And it was circumstances that he was showing me his command of some things he wanted me to do through circumstances. I hope you're getting this because I understood it. So the first point I wanted to make here is this widow woman was commanded of God to sustain Elijah. And she was, it was probably not verbal, but she was commanded just through the circumstances that she was in, just through her circumstances. The next thing is fairly obvious. How she was commanded to God would be she was commanded by the Word of God. Look in verse 10 again. So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called on her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, she don't know this guy from anybody. And this guy comes to town and says, hey, why don't you fetch me a little drink of water? And then he says in verse 11, and as she was going, so she obeyed to fetch it, he added to it. He said, by the way, while you're getting that water, why don't you bring me a hamburger too, you know? Why don't you go to Whataburger? Give me a number one with cheese. She says here, she explains her condition in verse 12 that she only has enough to feed her and her son. And then Elijah says to her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. He said, you know, go ahead and go the way, you know, do what you were going to do, but, you know, feed me first. Bring the cake to me first and bring it to me. And then after that, you can make you some. Now, do you think that made any sense to her at all? She had just explained to him she had enough. She had a handful of meal and enough oil to make a meal for her and her son and then eat it and die. That was her master plan. And this guy shows up in town. He's a man of God, and he says, yeah, you go ahead. That's a great plan. You go ahead and do that, but you feed me first. Now, do you think that made any sense? How many of y'all would have bid on that one? Well, you know, the thing about it is she did. She obeyed what the man of God had said. She answered the man of God's commands. In verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Okay, so she heard, Elijah was speaking God's words. She heard God's words and she obeyed him. She brought him the drink. She brought him the bread. The logic there, I can't even understand how she would jump to the conclusion that she ought to believe this guy. But you know what? Her circumstances got her into that position. What does the Bible say about where does faith come from? Yeah, it says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Well, how about this application? Here's this guy shows up and he is talking the words of God, and she hears those words of God, and now she has enough faith to believe that what he's saying. You know what? His words, the words of God, commanded her actions. she did what he wanted to say because she was actually listening to God's words, if that makes any sense. You know, the application to us is you've got it in your lap. You've got God's words. And there are thousands of commands in there. And once again, there's never a moment in our lives where we're not under these commandments. There's never. Whether you're lost, whether you're saved, you're not under these. You know, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In that same passage in John 3:7, it says, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Everyone on the face of this earth is living underneath that command right now. It's the Word of God, and it's valid. Romans 6:12-13. You don't need to turn there, but the Bible says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." That's a command that we're all living under. And God doesn't have to come tell you verbally. He's given it to you in writing. And we have that command. And one of the ways that we get around that is we just don't read it. Because if I don't read it, it doesn't count. It does count. And so it's still in effect. John 5:12 says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Wow, that's a huge commandment. And we all live under that commandment. And we're expected to obey that commandment. And God has given it to us in writing. Another one, y'all are enjoying this. Colossians 3:13 says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Well, there's enough commandments right there to keep all of us busy for quite a while, and the book's full of them. And this lady, her circumstances has commanded her actions in that she was at a place that God used her to get his will accomplished. She also was commanded because of the words of God that she heeded, and she did. And God expects the same thing out of us, Look at this. The third thing, I believe she was commanded by her circumstances. I see clearly that she was commanded by the Word of God. And truly, she was commanded also by the fulfillment of promises. We got a promise here in verse 9. The first one is to Elijah. In verse 9, it says, "Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a woman, widow woman, there to sustain thee." That promise is to Elijah. That's a promise to Elijah. He said, "I want you to get up and go to Zarephath, and you know what? I got a widow woman there that's going to take care of you." Do you think Elijah had any problem just getting up and going? He had already got up and went to that other creek, the brook Cherith, and ravens had fed him there. You know, this wasn't a big deal for Elijah to comprehend, I don't think. You know, it made me think that hadn't God already fulfilled promises far greater in your life than what you may be clinging to today? See, that's exactly what Elijah had. He had a promise from God, but it wasn't even comparing to what God had already done. And I rejoice in the fact that, you know, I have been through some things. And I have been through some things and cried out to God, and God has answered prayer. I have been through things where before I even knew to cry out for God, and God had taken care of things. But I can stand here today and rejoice in the fact that God, you know, God could promise me a lot of things right now, but He's already performed way more than I could ever expect it. There's not a promise I wouldn't believe from Him at all. I'm just like Elijah right now. He could tell me to do something, and I could believe it real easily because he has always kept his word on everything else. I mean, he's never double-crossed me. He's never let me down. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. You know, when God makes a promise, it's going to happen. You know, if God made this promise to Elijah and said, you know what, I want you to get up, I want you to go there, and this widow woman's going to take care of you. All right, let's pretend this woman, when he got there, said, no, go get your own stinking biscuit. I'm busy. I'm going to take care of my kid. We're going to die. I don't want no part of you. You think Elijah would have still been taken care of and sustained? God might have knocked the old woman off, and Elijah still would have got to that barrel and cruise, and you know, I don't know how it would have worked. I do know this. If God promised that somebody's going to take care of you, it's going to do it. And you see, that book is full of promises. All things work together for the good. Romans 8:28. Those things are real. And we read over them real quick and we take them for granted. I know I do. But God has already promised me things and delivered many, many times in my life. And in the ministry now, I get the absolute blessing of seeing it happen in your lives. I have seen in your lives, I have seen in Maureen's life where God has sustained her and helped her through things that I can't even imagine. And so anything that comes across our way now is nothing because he's already done 10 times that before. Do you get the picture? And I know you ought to be able to bring something to mind because I know it's true that everyone in here, God has already delivered on promises to you in the past. And there should be no problem in following his commands and buying into the deal today. There shouldn't be anything that you're clinging on today that is greater than what he's already done for you in the past. And that was this lady, and this was Elijah. The second promise here was in verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sent his rain upon the earth. This promise was to the widow woman. You know, this widow woman had no relationship with God. She had no future. And then this guy shows up and tells her that, you know what, that barrel that you got, and it's not going to run out of meal. And that cruse of oil that you got, it's not going to run out of oil. There's going to be plenty in there. Do you think she believed him? You know what I think? I don't know if she truly believed him, but I think that promise sure gave her hope. I think she got a lot of hope out of that guy showing and saying, you know what? That's not going to run out. God's going to take care of this. God's not going to let that thing run out. But I really don't know whether she believed him, and this is why. I want to keep reading in the passage. Verse 17. Now, by this time, she has already seen, and they have been sustained by this barrel. Every time she went to that barrel, there was meal in it. And every time she went to that cruise, there was oil. And I personally believe she got up every once in a while in the middle of the night and went and checked. I would have. Where's this stuff coming from? I would have looked in there and seen if there was some for tomorrow. You know, I imagine she did. But this thing has already sustained them for it says many days. Look in verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down to the house, brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now, by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." You know what it took? It took a resurrection of her son for her to believe that Elijah was a man of God and the things he was saying was truth. So I want to go back to that cruise of oil and that breath. Do you think that she actually believed Elijah? No, that cruise filling up and that promise gave her hope, gave her hope. You know, it's a strange thing that it took a resurrection for her to believe that the things God says through this Bible, the things God says through this pastor, the things that the promises and the things that God gives us are true. It took a resurrection. You know, God provided a resurrection of his son because we're the same way. It took a resurrection for us to believe, a lot of us. And she finally believed after her son was resurrected, and, you know, God resurrected his son so we would believe. But I believe she acted on hope. And because of that hope of God fulfilling that promise, that made her do the things that she did. You know, I just hope that each one of us, because I'm in the process of doing this, will examine our circumstances, and it's hard. It's hard for me to do because I don't know about you, but I would rather have a pity party than to man up and look and see what's going on in my life, get with God and try to figure out whether it's something I'm causing or something that needs to be changed, and truly look at my circumstances and, like Pastor said before, not look at why, but maybe look at what and for sure look at who, and get the correct perspective on what's going on so that God may be commanding someone in this room to change something that you're doing now by your circumstances. It may be something from God trying to get your attention and give you a command that he wants you to follow, and it's all tied into the circumstances you're in right now. He may have someone in this room, including me, I don't know, he may have someone in this room that through the words of God, he's trying to get you to do something or to stop doing something, some command. And it's in these words, and it's in this preaching, and it's in the Sunday school lessons, and it's in the radio messages. And we're failing on our part if we don't take advantage of that resource that God can use to command us and that we can use to be obedient. And then if nothing else, I pray that you'll search your memory bank and look at the many times where God has performed. God did show up. God did answer prayer. God has shown himself exceedingly mightily over and over and over. So whatever circumstance you're in at the moment, he can cover it. He's got it covered. We just need to trust in him. This widow woman, she didn't have Bible Believers Baptist Church. She didn't have the Word of God. She didn't even have a relationship with God. But God was able to command her to take care of Elijah through her circumstances, through the Word of God, and through fulfilling promises right there in her life. So that's what I got out of it. I pray it's a blessing to you. I pray that God can do something with you. Father, I thank you for your Word. Lord, I thank you for the circumstances. I thank you for your promises that are fulfilled. You're mighty, mighty good to me and mighty, mighty good to the folks in this church. And Father, we're so thankful the way that you take care of each and every one of us. And Father, I pray that, Lord, if there's things that you want us to do that we're not doing, or there's things that we're doing that you don't want us to do, that we would be attentive enough to hear these commands through our circumstances, hear these commands through the Word of God, or hear these commands through the promises that you've already fulfilled, Lord. And we sure thank you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.